The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله MashaAllah viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our special series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this special series of programs we look at our rich heritage, the Muslims, the rich heritage that the Muslims have. We look at our past and we try to learn something from our past. We learn something from our pious predecessors. We learn something from the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn something from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the aim being that we learn something from their lives. We learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. As you know, whenever we begin one of our programs, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and today is no different. The blessing that I have today is narrated. Sayyidina Shaykh Abul Hasan Bistami rahmatullah ta'ala said that I prayed to Allah azza wa jal to see Sayyidina Abu Saleh Muazzin in my dream, and he goes on to say that my prayer was answered and I saw him in my dream in a very good condition. I inquired him, "Oh Abu Saleh, tell me something about you," and he replied, "I would have been destroyed if I had not recited salat upon the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance." Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani Channel, every program that we do, we try to encourage you to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are countless blessings, and whole books have been wrote on the blessings of reciting salat Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The blessings are there, and it's up to us whether we take advantage of those blessings or not. So I would advise you all, you don't, like I said many times before, you don't have to put time aside. You can do it whilst you're driving, whilst you're working, whatever you are doing. You can be working in the house, at home, in your office. In many instances, you can use that time in also reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. As I said earlier on, in our program yesterday, today and tomorrow, we look at our rich heritage, we look at the past. And we all know that the beloved and blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most superior, the most virtuous prophet of all. He is the best. He is the prophet of prophets. He's the guide, he's the imam of the prophets. Similarly, the blessed companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the most superior of all the companions belonging to all of the blessed prophets that have previously gone. So if we look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that companionship, their status is greater than the companions of any prophets that have gone before them as well. And amongst those companions, amongst the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest amongst them are the Khulafat al-Rashidin, the four righteous Khalifas of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amongst them four, the most pious and the most rewarding, the greatest amongst them is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Then after him, it is Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. Then after him, it is Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala. And then after him is Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. So these are the four righteous Khalifas. So we say that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest amongst the prophets. Then his companions are the greatest amongst the companions. Then amongst his companions, the greatest are the four righteous Khalifas. And then amongst them are these four great personalities that I mentioned today, just now. And today, inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit about the life of the third one. Were you listening? I hope you're listening. The third of the righteous Khalifas is Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. We're going to learn a little bit about his life. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, even in the time of ignorance, he was always known as Usman. So this name that he had before he entered the fold of Islam, he was also known as Usman as well. And even after that, he was known as Usman as well. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu is also honored that if we look at his life, we can trace his lineage back to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the fifth descent by Sayyidina Abdul Manaf radiallahu anhu.
Thus, after Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani traces his lineage back to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by just five descents. In the pre-ignorance times, in the pre-Islamic time of ignorance, the kunya of Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu was Abu Amr. And later on, when he got married to the beloved and blessed daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Ruqayya radiallahu anhu, and Allah azza wa jalla blessed them with a son, namely Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Again, a lot of people don't know that these are also grandchildren of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, he had the kunya of Abu Abdullah, and after the name of his beloved son. But both appellations are famous, but Abu Amr is most well known. It is also known about him that even before accepting Islam, you see what happened even today, that what happens is people live a life, and as they enter the fold of Islam, their life change. They become completely changed their lives. But even in the time of ignorance, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu was also regarded amongst the noble and honored figures of his tribe. Everyone had always been fully overwhelmed with his great and powerful disposition. His character was there as well. His mannerisms, his grace, his majestic presence, everybody, you know, looked up to him. And it's for this reason he was also a very soft-natured and a kind-hearted person. Now, although he was a very rich person, he was extremely rich, alhamdulillah, his lifestyle was very, very simple, and he was a true example of modesty and shyness. Even in the age of ignorance, his blessed personality was free from all of the evil practices at that time. Rather, he, radiallahu anhu, was endowed with all the great virtues and the characteristics that the people of Quraysh themselves used to show the deep devotion and attachment towards him. It is for this reason, to such an extent, that the mothers, when the children used to cry, they used to do a dua. And the dua was that my Rabb and I love you likewise, the people of Quraysh loved Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. Now this is the great status, that is, if even today we remember in his character, even today we remember in his modesty, even today we remember his shyness, even today we're remembering that how people looked up to him, that they were inspired by him. And today we don't even know anything about these people. And throughout history, people have recorded these, his characteristics, his mannerisms, they've been recorded so that they can learn from his life, make them their role model. And we see nowadays, and this is why we're doing this program, Views on the Channel, that we need to be aware of our role models. Who are these great people? What do we know about the lives of these people? What do we know about how they live their lives? And unfortunately, in many cases, we don't. And we need to be aware of their lives, aware of the mannerisms, aware of the characteristics, aware of the achievements, aware of the sacrifices that they made so that the deen of Islam could come to us. So inshallah, today we're going to learn a little bit more about his life. I'm going to very quickly now mention a little bit about his appearance. Again, you know, when I mention his appearance, whenever I read about the appearance of one of our pious predecessors, this thought also comes to my mind, that has been recorded as well. That detail has been recorded as well. And so when we hear about our pious predecessors, and then we hear about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how his hair was described, his facial features were described, how the hands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were described, how the beard was described, how the hair was described, how the blessed ears were described, how his stature was described. And at that time, they maintained this knowledge. A lot of people say, well, how is that possible? This was passed on through generation to generation. And I'm going to give you, regarding the appearance of Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, he was a man of the most graceful appearance, and he had an awe-inspiring personality. You know, some people, you just look at them, and there's something about their personality that you're attracted to. They don't have to say anything. It's just the way they are. They have that graceful appearance. They have that awe-inspiring and personality. Do you think, you know, this is someone. His height was of a medium, and he had lovely and a handsome face with a pinkish-white glowing complexion. He had large cheeks, long ears, beaming and bright teeth, a broad chest, wide shoulders with the distance between the shoulders, strong and impressive calves, rather long arms, curly long hair on his blessed head, in conformity with the Sunnah style, hanging below the ears, and the blessed beard of Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu was thick, like the blessed beard of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and also like the blessed beard of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And thin skin covered with golden hair, and having such an handsome and awe-inspiring personality, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu was also known as a man of modesty and shyness. Sayyidina Salama bin Akwa radiallahu anhu narrated that the thaiban, the large piece of cloth wrapped around the waist of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, would come to his mid-calf. And he used to describe its reason as that the thaiband of the Holy Prophet would also hang in the same way, i.e. to the mid-calf. Just for a moment, I just want to pause here. That we see from the lives of our pious predecessors, that when they were asked, why did you do this? How? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? In many, many occasions, they will say that this is the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. This is how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. And that is also a show of the love that they had. That he would cry to keep the hair similar to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would have the beard similar to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would wear the thaiband similar to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to the extent that when he was asked, why have you got it so low? Why have you got it to the middle of your calf? And he was asked, he's mentioned that this was also the way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And again, that's something for us to look up to. The adherence of the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Living our lives according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives? And that is something that we need to try to become aware of. Because in many of the sunnah, in the majority of the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe there are just slight changes we need to make in our life. Slight little changes that we make in our life and intentions that we make in our life, and then automatically we'll adopt the sunnah. You know, to adopt the sunnah, we're not having to say to you, oh, you have to climb up a mountain every day. No, you all cut your nails, cut them according to the sunnah. You all put shoes on, you take shoes off. We all do it, don't we? Every day we do it. What is the harm? Or what impact will it be upon you if you do it according to the sunnah or don't do it according to the sunnah? What difference will it make in your life? How hard will that be? Yeah. It's not as if I say to you, oh, when you put on one shoe, you have to have the other foot in the air and put it on and it'll make it difficult. No, just put the shoes on in a normal way. But the sunnah is to put the right shoe on first and then the left shoe. The sunnah is to take the left shoe off first and then the right one. How hard is that? But again, it's having that mindset of fulfilling that and making the intention that you're going to do it, and then it'll become habitual. In the same way, entering the masjid. We all, alhamdulillah, go to the masjid. It is sunnah to enter with the right foot. Now, it's not as if you fly into them. We all walk into the masjid, don't we? Alhamdulillah. We're all blessed with the opportunity to walk into the masjid. And when you walk in the masjid, go with your right foot. It is sunnah to leave with the left foot. Again, if you think about it, these are not things that we're asking you to make a huge change in your life. Entering the toilet, when you go into the washroom, enter with your left foot, leave with your right foot. These are little sunnahs that I've mentioned. Cutting the nails, for example, if we talk about the sunnah of cutting the nails. One of the ways that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would cut his nails, and we'll mention it now, is that he would take this finger, the index finger, the shahada finger that you raise in your salah, and that would be the first finger that he would cut. On your right hand, yeah? I'm saying it on the right hand because sometimes on the TV screens, it kind of like twists things around, doesn't it? This is my right hand. On the right hand, the index finger, followed by this one, and this one, then this one. So now I've cut these four fingers, yes? Carrying on from there, so I've started from there to there to there to there. Now I come to here, to here, to here, to here, to here. And I go across that line. So this one, then 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 this one. So I've started with the right hand, but I left the thumb. I've gone across the four fingers on the right hand, then I've completed the left hand, and then I come back to the right hand. How hard is that? Do you not cut your nails? We all cut our nails. If you just adopt that in your life, then you are now following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our pious predecessors, they were passionate about this. Even if you watch Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, mashallah, if you were watching Madri channel earlier, you can see that he was on Madri Muzakara there. He is so passionate about the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if he finds out that this certain thing is a sunnah, he wants to do it. He's reading the books constantly, even at this time in his life, constantly reading, constantly studying. And if he comes across something that he has not been made aware of, that is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will do his utmost best to implement that in his life. And this is how our pious predecessors were. When they became aware of sunnah, they would follow it. If this is how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And not only this, this is the important thing here. The important thing is that the people of the past, the true lovers, and I use this word, the true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't need to know the logic behind it. Okay, so why is he cutting that finger first? Why not this? Why? No, there was no whys. The lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't have why in the dictionary. When it came to adopting the sunnah, they didn't ask why, they just followed. The lovers don't ask, they just follow. And there are many instances. You know, there was an instance where a companion, he took off his imamah and tied it around a bush. And then he untied it and put it on. And when asked, why are you doing this? And he said, I saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his imamah got tied in the bush, he untied it and put it on. I'm following that sunnah. Now, we could argue. We could sit here and argue from a scientific point of view the benefits in cutting the nails in this manner. We could come up with some logic, some scientific reason, and we could back it up and this finger's this and so on. What's the logic there? And today's, in our lives, if it doesn't suit me, then I don't do it. And the things I've just mentioned to you now, have I given you anything that's a huge task? Cutting your nails in this manner, is that hard? No, it's not. Walking into the masjid with the right foot, is that hard? Leaving the masjid with the left foot. Walking into the washroom with your left foot, leaving the washroom with your right foot. Putting on the right shoe first. Taking off the left shoe first. Are these hard? No, they're all things that we do on a day-to-day basis. All we need to do is make them slight changes in our life. Slight little changes in our life and make the intentions that we are adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you're getting the reward. You know, it's hard to not take advantage of this. If I was to say to you, look, you know, for every time you follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I pay you this much, how many times would you leave it? Now you might say, okay, the sunnah of, I don't know, you know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to the mountain in the Sahur and there and he sat there and he spent time there. Going up that mountain is not easy. But these sunnahs that I've mentioned, are they hard? And now that if you know that you're going to be rewarded for them, then why not do them? They're so simple things in our lives. By adopting them, inshallah, we'll get the reward. Coming back to the topic of the day, Sayyidina Hazrat Usmani Ghani, radiallahu anhu. We've got a small package for you, inshallah. And I think this particular package is about the love that Sayyidina Usmani Ghani had for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the first package. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, let me tell you the devotion of Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. On the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu as his envoy, means representative. He sent him to Makkah Mukarramah in order to negotiate with the non-Muslims. Actually, the non-Muslims had decided not to allow the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and his companions to enter Makkah Mukarramah that year. As Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived in the sanctity of the Kaaba, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu was informed that the Muslims would not be allowed to perform Hajj that year. However, the non-Muslims told Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he could perform tawaf since he was already present there. But dear viewers, do you know, Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not wish to perform tawaf without the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He said to the non-Muslims that ma kuntu li af'ala hatta yatufa bihi Rasulullah. That means, I will not perform tawaf of the Kaaba until the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam performs tawaf. Subhanallah. So dear viewers, may Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. بجاه النبي الامين صلى الله تعالى عليه واله وسلم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
ما شاء الله viewers of my channel you just heard that love that Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was sent there was a treaty that was to be signed and they sent the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to go and see what the situation was in the Quraysh or whether they could be allowed to come and perform the Hajj and when they went there the people of Quraysh said no but you're here whilst you're here because like I said he was a man that was highly respected highly regarded amongst the people of Makkah everybody knew him everybody respected him and they all said to him that look you are here now he
said no if my Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot do it I will not do it
now if he had done that if he had performed the tawaf there what harm would have happened was it a sin for him to perform it Could he not have done it with the intention of gaining reward by performing the tawaf? Could he not have done it with the intention of performing the tawaf and passing on the blessings to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, he could have done all those things. And if he had done any of them, would that have been a sin? No, it wouldn't. But his love shone through. And this is a very important aspect that we see with all of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if you read about their lives, that in the same way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my companions are like the stars, follow them, you will never go astray. The companions, they not only shone like the stars that you follow them and you never go astray, but the love shone as well. The love shined from them. You could see the love in them, every aspect of their lives. They didn't question the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, they did it. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed something, they didn't ask, question it. They didn't ask how, what's the logic behind this? Please explain. You know, nowadays, you know, when it comes to the deen and the scholars are explaining something to us or telling us something, that this is what Sharia says, why? I don't understand that. You know, and you know, this is not what happened in the past. The pious predecessors never questioned. They accepted. And sometimes it is good to question to acquire the knowledge if that is our intention to understand the logic behind the rationale behind it, if that is available to us. But if it's not, then accept it. Not everything has a logic, not everything has a rationale. Accept it because your accepting it is the way the pious predecessors accepted it. Your accepting it is the way the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it. But if you don't accept it, if you go against it, if you question it, to the extent that you're trying to find a loophole in it or you're trying to find a fault in it. Again, it's on your intention. If that is your mindset, then bear in mind, this is not the way of the past. This is not the way of our rich heritage of how they lived their lives. So we need to be careful about this. Yes, acquire the knowledge of the deen. Question where appropriate, but also we need to accept. I'm going to give you a beautiful event that took place. And this will hopefully, I like this particular parable that I'm going to narrate to you because it kind of shows the status and the companions and the love that the companions not only had for each other but also the love that they had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for these as well. It is reported that Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab and Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu were busy doing some work instructed by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the meantime, Salat al-Asr drew near. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he said to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, you lead the Salah. He said to him, you lead the Salah. And upon this, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala said, no, you are more deserving than me and the greatest Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you preference over others and appreciated you. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he replied, I would not lead because I have heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that how excellent Usman is. He is my son-in-law and he is the husband of my two daughters. Allah azza wa jal has gathered my nur in him. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu replied to him that I'm not going to lead the Salah because I have heard the Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Allah azza wa jal has completed Islam with Umar. Allahu Akbar.
Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu then replied that I'm not going to lead the sila because I've heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, even the angels feel shy before Usman. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu then replied, I would not lead because I've heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Allah azza wa jal has accomplished deen by Umar and he's honored the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu then said, I would not lead because I have heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Usman will collect the glorious Quran and he is the beloved of Rahman. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Usman Ghani replied that I would not lead because I've heard the blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, how excellent Umar is. He looks after widows, he looks after orphans, and he feeds them when people are asleep. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala replied that I will not lead because I have heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Allah azza wa jalla has granted forgiveness to Usman. He prepared the army of Jaishul Ushra, Ghazwa Tabuk. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala replied that I will not lead because I've heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicating in this way. He said, O Allah, grant us dignity by Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is named you Farooq, and Allah azza wa jal has distinguished between truth and falsehood by you. Allah, can you imagine this conversation taking place? And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard about this conversation, when he heard about this conversation, he prayed for both of them and he appreciated their courtesy and their excellent manners. You know, when I read that, after I've read it time and time again, each statement that has been made by these great companions shows the status of the other companion in the sight of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That no, I cannot leave because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to you. And no, because I can't leave because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. We learn quite a lot of things here. Number one is their status, the maqam, the position that they have. But also that their love and devotion to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, you know, mentioned them, did dua for them, you know, appreciated them. And you also see that it's not because I'm more deserving because I'm richer than you, or you are more deserving because you're richer than me, or whatever it is. No, you are more deserving. Why? Because you please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, you are more deserving because you please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if you look at each one of them statements, each one of them statements could be replaced by no, you, I will not lead. Why? Because you are closer to the Prophet. No, I will not lead. Why? Because you have pleased the Prophet the most. No, I will not lead. Why? Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised you. Because you are closer to the Prophet. And this in itself was the competition that the companions had. You know, nowadays, if you look at the competition that we have within our family, within our relatives, is who can have the biggest house, the biggest bank balance, and this and this, and all materialistic things. But we look at that time, that this is how they used to compete with each other, how you used to appreciate each other, that this was the competition that they had. You know, there's many instances where they would leave the home with the intention that today I am going to win. I am going to win. What win? Win what? Win what? What were they trying to win? They were trying to win the happiness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I today will be that fortunate person that I'll please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, my dear viewers on Madri channel, our iman is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of our actions. He knows what we are doing. And in the same way that the companions, they would wake up in the morning to try and live their life in such a way that they would be the most fortunate one to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ultimately pleasing their Rabb. Where do we fit into this? Do we ever, on any day, get up and think, you know what, today I'm going to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today I'm going to please my Rabb. Today I'm going to do my utmost best to live my life in such a way that I don't commit any sins. Today I'm going to live my life in such a way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is happy with me. Today I'm going to live my life in such a way that Allah azza wa jalla is happy with me. Do we even try to achieve that? Or we just, we'll worry about it. We'll see what happens in it. Yeah, let's just see what happens. This again is this mindset that we shouldn't have. We should try live our lives in such a way. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of our hearts as well. And some of our pious predecessors have also gone as far as saying that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is aware of the status of our hearts as well. We need to have this awareness inside us that Allah is watching us. Allah is aware of everything we do. Allah can hear, Allah can see, Allah knows. And we're also told that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is aware of our actions as well. If he can hear when we send Durood-e Paak upon him, then he can hear everything else as well. He's aware of our actions. And again, we need to bear that in mind. You know, someone said that if you were to get a ball and put the ball in the middle of a marketplace, and then in your heart, whatever needs, wants that you have inside you, that you've never told anybody about, that I'd like to have this, I'd want to have this, I want to do this, I want this, I want this, and you take that all out and put it in that bowl so everybody in the marketplace could see it. If after doing that, you're not ashamed of what people will think about you, then you have taqwa. But the question is, are we at that level? Do we have that same love, that same passion for following the deen? Do we have the awareness inside us, that taqwa inside us, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you? You know, even today, I came home and I switched on Madani channel and I saw the Madani Muzakara. And I'm thinking to myself that Amir Lusulut, the founder of Dawah Islam, he's not a young man anymore. That even at this age, that he's this passion to do good deeds, passion to pass on the work of the deen, to make people aware of this. You know, this is the passion that we are missing. You know, does Amir Lusulut, the founder of Dawah Islam, not get tired? Yes, he must get tired. He must get tired. But that passion is there. And sometimes we don't appreciate that passion. You know, and when we talk on this program yesterday, today and tomorrow, and we talk about our pious predecessors, we talk about the role models. If you want to see a role model today in the current time, then look no further than Amir Lusulut, the founder of Dawah Islami. His passion at this age, you see it. I don't know if you watch the Madani Muzakara, but then when he's getting up and when he's sitting down, he's having to help people, have people to help him to get up, having to help people to get him to sit down. It's not easy for him to get up. It's not easy for him to sit down. It's not easy for him to sit there for 2 hours. Look at Amir Lusulut, the founder of Dawah Islami. His passion. Why? Why? Because he wants to get as many good deeds done. He wants to spread this message of the deen. He wants to help to rectify people. And this mission statement of Dawah Islami, that I must strive to rectify the people of the whole world. This is what Amir Lusulut is trying to do. By passing on this message, by having that passion. And he's trying to make us aware of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching us. He's trying to make us aware of the true love that we need to have for the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives. He's trying to make us aware of how important it is in our lives to adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives. This is his mission. And even at this age, and obviously he's no longer a young man, the same strength is not there. Even at this age, he is continuing. Then we look at ourselves and think, what are we doing? Why haven't we got that passion? Why have we not even got another, forget the passion to spread the message of Islam, but to accept the message, to accept the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives, to accept the guidance that he's trying to give to us. And Amir Lusulut set up everything. You can look at every aspect of our lives. And Amir Lusulut set up them institutes so that he can protect our iman, to safeguard our iman. Our Madrasatul Madina is there to safeguard the iman of our children, to safeguard the aqidah of the children. Jamatul Madina there to provide the teachers of the future, the effectively the soldiers of knowledge of the future, to safeguard the iman of the people. The Darul Madina is the schooling system that is there, the courses that are provided there, the weekly ishtamas that are provided there, the Madani kaflas that are provided, the Madani channels, the 24 hours, the message of the deen. You know, running this Madani channel on itself is not an easy task. The financial implications on just running this Madani channel here in the UK, it is costing us between 50 and 60,000 pounds every month just to run Madani channel. How does this happen? Through your donations. But just think, if all of a sudden you didn't have that expense, then life would be so much easier, wouldn't it? But no, brothers and the sisters of the Islam have taken it upon themselves to raise them funds, and it's not easy, so that we can continue running this Madani channel. And this passion, we need to develop that inside ourselves. I think I've gone off the topic a little bit, please forgive me. We're talking about the great companion Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. We're going to go to a kalam now, inshallah. Inshallah, when we come back from the kalam, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ah, shahe bahar-o-bar, main Madina chhodaya. Ah, shahe bahar-o-bar, main Madina chhodaya. Kohe gham bada sar par, main Madina chhodaya. Agha Masjid-e-Nabvi, Masjid-e-Nabvi, haaye Gumbad-e-Khazra. Ah, Rauza-e-Anwar, main Madina chhoda. Rauza-e-Anwar, main Madina chhodaya. Gham ke chha gaye badal, dil mein mach gayi halchal. Ke chha gaye badal, dil mein mach gayi halchal. Aah, ae mere yaar, main Madina chhodaya. Mere yaar, main Madina chhodaya. Jab chala tha Taiba ko, thi khushi mere dil ko. Jab chala tha Taiba ko, thi khushi mere dil ko. Aah, ab hai dil muztar, main Madina chhodaya. Aah, ab hai dil muztar, main Madina chhodaya. Ab ghame Madina se chak chak seena gaye. Ab ghame Madina se chak chak seena gaye. Kyun kahun na ro ro kar, میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. کیوں کہوں نہ رو رو کر میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. آہ دن مدینے کے جلد جلد گزرے تھے. آہ دن مدینے کے جلد جلد گزرے تھے. ہائے جلد چھوٹا در میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. ہائے جلد چھوٹا در میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. سبز گنبد اور مینار آہ چھٹ گئے سرکار. سبز گنبد اور مینار آہ چھٹ گئے سرکار. پھر بلائیے سرور میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. پھر بلائیے سرور میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. دور ہو گیا سرکار آہ غم زدہ عطار. دور ہو گیا سرکار آہ غم زدہ عطار. جلد آؤں پھر در پر میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. جلد آؤں پھر در پر میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. آہ شاہ بحروبر میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا. کوہ غم پڑا سر پر میں مدینہ چھوڑ آیا.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ ویورز آف مدر چینل, یو واچنگ یسٹرڈے ٹوڈے اینڈ ٹمارو, اینڈ ٹوڈے وی لوکنگ ایٹ دا لائف آف ون آف دا گریٹسٹ کمپینینز آف دا پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم. اللہ وی سیڈ ایٹ دا بگننگ آف دا پروگرام, دا بیسٹ پروفٹ, دا گریٹسٹ پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم از دا فائنل میسنجر آف اللہ. دا گریٹسٹ کمپینینز آف آل دا پروفٹس are the prophets of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amongst those great companions, the greatest amongst them is the Khalifatul Rashidin. And amongst them, the third one, which is the one that we're talking about today, is Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. What a great companion he was, what sacrifices he's made, and how close he was to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love that he got. And he also was given some titles as well during his life. And we're going to mention some of his titles and the description behind this.
The first title that he is known as is Zumnarain, i.e. the possessor of two noors, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave two of his honorable and blessed daughters' hands in marriage, one after the other, to the honorable Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, namely Sayyidina Ruqayya radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umme Khalsum radiallahu anhu. And it's for this reason that he is called Zumnarain. He's called Zumnarain. Again, I just want to pause here for a moment. Normally what happens is, when someone marries their daughters to someone, then what happens is it happens that not everything's, you know, a bed of roses, so to speak. There are ups and downs. And there are some times in your life where you may have regrets that did you do the right thing in getting your daughter married here? Was it the right thing? Was that? Because every marriage has problems in it. And what happens is sometimes as a father, you don't focus on the good points and you remember the bad points. But here we have an instance where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married one of his daughters. And when that daughter passed away, he was so happy and pleased with him that he was willing to marry his second daughter to him as well. So from this in itself, it sees the status that he had. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes you can say, oh, you married your daughter to them. Oh, I shouldn't have done that or whatever. But here we see that that wasn't the case. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must have loved his wife to such an extent when he married the first one, and the love that he gave to her, the care that he gave for her, the way that he was with her, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was obviously impressed. And so when she passed away, he married his second daughter to him as well. And this is why he was given the title of Zumnarain. The second title that he was given is Jamiul Quran, the compiler of the Quran. One of the remarkable titles against the magnificent service of compiling and safeguarding the glorious Quran is Jamiul Quran. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, with the consultation of Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, had collected the manuscripts of the glorious Quran from various places during his period of ruling. But still three types of activities were left to be carried out. First, all the texts had to be copied into one manuscript, and then sending the copies of the same manuscripts to all the big cities of the Islamic countries. And lastly, was to instruct all to recite in the accent of the Quraysh. Allah Azza wa Jal chose Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu to carry out the blessed action, and the compilation of the glorious Quran was accomplished according to the divine pledge. And it is for this reason that Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu is known as the Jamiul Quran, the compiler of the Quran. Just think, if that didn't happen and it was just on parchments and it wasn't compiled, and then them Qurans, when they were compiled, them with check, they were sent to the various cities. And there are certain museums that even today have copies of them, original Qurans that were compiled by Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, and the way it was compiled, and that it was sent throughout the whole of the world. And it's the most read book in the world at the moment. There are more copies of the Quran in every household than probably any other book in the world. This is, again, the great service that Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu gave, and he was the one that compiled the Quran into the book form that we have. Viewers of my channel, we're coming towards the end of the program. We've got a little package for you as well. We're going to go to this final package of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll mention a few other things and we'll wrap up the topic of the day, inshallah. Let's go to this final package. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
To develop our character, our mannerism, Islam teaches us this. And we have the most perfect role model in front of us, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran mentions to us that he is the ideal role model. His sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living. It is a complete lifestyle. It's inside the house and outside the house. It's in the private and in the public as well. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, encourages us to practice upon the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to refine our character. Nek a'mal or pious deeds, which you can download for free from App Store or Play Store. If you fill this out and act upon it on a daily basis, believe me, you will see positive results in your life. If a person wants to become a practicing Muslim, an upright member of society, then nek a'mal is your helper. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliyah includes one point there, because it's a self-questionnaire. You're asking yourself questions Did I do this? Did I lie today? Did I perform my 5-time salah today? Did I make good intentions today? Did I respect my parents today? Did I obey the traffic rules today? Etc. Daily questions, weekly, monthly, yearly questions, and lifetime questions as well. One of the beautiful points that we have to ask ourselves that, did I speak politely today? Even with a newborn baby, Allahu Akbar. Because as a baby is growing up and you speak politely, what will happen? That baby is going to learn good manners, is going to learn polite speech, good words, and you yourself will develop your own character as well. Try to download it, try to practice upon it as well. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us understanding and keep us on the path of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, and Awliya Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a very important package there in which the Pious Deed booklet was mentioned. And again, it's available to download. There's an app that you can download completely free of charge. And the questions in there of how we should try and live our lives. Coming back to the topic of the day, and I've just realized there's only a short amount of time. And again, what happens sometimes, we come to the end of the program and realize there's so much that I want to say. So without further ado, we mentioned just before the break two of the titles that were given to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. He was also given the title of the helper of the army of meager means. The Islamic army, which was prepared on the occasion of the expedition of Tobruk called Jaishul Usra, because the army set out during the hard time of searing heat of the scorching summer season of Arabia, and the location was also miles away. It is narrated by Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Khabab radiallahu anhu that I was present in the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was motivating the Sahaba for the battle of Tabuk. Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I take it upon myself to donate 100 camels along with saddles and other related provisions. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then resumed his inspirational efforts on the rest of the people. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu again stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I bear the responsibility of contributing 200 camels with the provisions. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again resumed his motivational efforts once again. And once again, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I take the responsibility of donating 300 camels with all of the provisions. The narrator has further reported that I saw when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he came down. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down from the pulpit. He came down and he said, from today, whatever Usman radiallahu anhu does, he will not be held accountable. He will not be held accountable. Why? Because of the sacrifices that he made. These days, we see some people making intention to donate something in the path of Allah that will give £100, £200, £300. But when it actually comes to giving it, they give less. They give less. Here we are seeing the Sayyidina Usman Ghani, in the front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I'll give 100. Then he said, I will give 200. Then it came 300, right? And some people may say, well, it was there to encourage people. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down and said, today, from today, whatever Usman radiallahu anhu does, he will never be held accountable. But also what is amazing is that when the time came to give the donation, when the time came to give this, he gives so much more. Commenting on this hadith, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi has stated that bear in mind, this was only his announcement. But when the time of delivering came, he gave 950 camels, 50 horses, and 1,000 ashrafis gold coins. Later on, he donated another 10,000 ashrafis. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah further stated that know that he initially committed to 100, 200, and then 300, i.e. 600 camels in all. But at the time came, he gave 950 camels, he gave 50 horses, and he gave 11,000 ashrafis gold coins. So when the actual time came to give, he gives so much more. You know, these are the sacrifices. And again, you need to bear in mind, this is every time I read about the lives of these great people, I think to myself that, you know, they were not another creation.
They were human beings like me. They had need, they had wants, they had families, they had children. They had desires to sit on a comfy chair, to lie on a comfy bed. But they sacrificed all of that. They sacrificed all of them desires. For what? The pleasure of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For what? The pleasure of our Rabb. For what? The akhirat, the afterlife. They sacrificed everything in the dunya for the afterlife. What sacrifices are we making? These companions, when they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will sacrifice our lives, they didn't just say it, they did it. When these companions said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll give you 100 camels, they didn't just say it, they didn't just give 100, they give 1,000 camels. This is how great they were. This is the status that they had. This is, you know, the passion that they had, the sacrifices that they were willing to make. And I want to finish there, because there's only a few moments, of some of the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has mentioned Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Uthman radiallahu anhu is from me, and I am from Uthman radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. And he also says that every prophet has a companion, and my companion in Jannah is Uthman. He also, in another saying, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the intercession of Uthman radiallahu anhu, 70,000 people will enter Jannah without accountability, upon whom hell would have been wajib upon them. Allahu Akbar. And another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that modesty is from Iman, and the most genuinely modest one from my ummah is Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is just scratching the surface of the life of this great companion. This is just, in these few moments, what is it, nearly 1 hour, in these few moments, what have we said about his life? We mentioned very, very little about his life. But then the other question comes is, what do we know about his life? What do we know about the great companions? What do we know about the Khalifat al-Rashidin? What do we know about the sacrifices that they were? Do we know anything about their lives? And this is the sad reality of Yusuf Man Channel, that as Muslims, we have such a great, rich heritage. We have some great role models in our past to look up to. We have some great role models in our past to try and follow in their footsteps. We have some great role models to try and adopt their lifestyles in our life. But the problem is we don't know anything about them. And so on this program of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we're trying to highlight something from their lives. We're trying to learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Mother Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah, the universe is the body and its soul.